This program contains strong adult language, violence, and brief nudity. It's everything you're looking for. Live from the Sims Tower in the Robinson Auto Group studio, we are AM 1600 WKKX.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 6.08 p.m., 70 degrees outside. I love the weather out there, Lola.
I'm shocked you're saying that.
Because I know,
usually,
right?
Oh, I love it cold. I can wear shorts and flip-flops in 30-degree weather.
Well, see, but it's windy out, so it is kind of cold.
It is wicked windy.
It is. We had the lady lives across the street from me when we pulled up to my house. Like, she'd put her trash out already, and it was like all the way down the street.
Yep.
Like, she had big boxes and everything else. We were out there, had to collect them. And, I mean, just taking it back over to the trash, like her like trash area.
Yeah.
We were fighting wind.
Well, and like it's going to stay there. When do your... Oh, they come in the morning, first thing in the morning.
Yeah, ours comes tonight.
Oh. Oh.
No, well, it's like...
You got nighttime pickup.
3 o'clock in the morning.
That's night. That's not morning. That's night. I'm sorry.
It all depends on when you go, I guess.
I guess.
I'm Jordan Klein. She's Lola Miller. And we're here with Sarah Howard.
Hello.
She's talking finally.
Yeah.
You gotta get it out of her.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, we do not have Lorna Byrne on.
I try. There was an issue with her. She had to reschedule. She will be on the show on December 5th. I've been talking with her publicist all day. December 5th, she will be on the show. So
for once, I thought I was being real clever and knowing who was going to be on. Once again, I think
that's been my biggest flaw so far. No, I got two big flaws since last November, since Nick left.
Okay.
The website, like, I'm getting better, but like the main board of the website, like, I have no clue how to work anything with. Like, we have a disabled chat room on there and like everything. Like, I just don't know how to upkeep the website and informing the station on who our guest is.
Informing your co-host who the guest is. Every once in a while, I'll catch something.
Well, see, if you would Facebook.
I work.
I work midnight shifts.
If I had an iPhone, I would keep up to date with Facebook. That's my favorite story.
We'll get you one.
Yeah. Well, I've been hearing that from everybody and his brother around here. Don't worry. I'll give you my old one. Yeah. I see them in passing. Oh, was that one mine? Oh, that one must have been mine.
They have I think the droids have some kind of a phone. It's like a pay phone, like a pay plan. Not a pay phone, like a pay plan, like a monthly deal. But it's got the droid services on it.
Well,
that's cheap.
You can get an iPhone through Walmart. Walmart doesn't do droid.
No.
Because that's why my nephew is still connected to a plan, because they don't do droids.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps telling me that, you know, the way to go is probably Walmart and just, you know, keep updating the card. But then again, you know how I am. Would I remember to pay for it once a month?
I have that pay-as-you-go, and I set an alarm every month to remind myself to do it, because if not, I'd forget.
See, and that's what I have with my iPhone. I have a pay by month.
If you're going to buy me a phone, I want that 4GS.
you can buy
that
your own phone.
That thing is so clever.
I'll give you my old flip phone.
I've got an old flip phone. Remind me to get milk on my way home. Remind me to do this. Remind me to do that. That is so awesome. This phone does everything. This phone would be better than a spouse.
I don't know about that.
Well, you guys are young. That's why you don't know about that. Trust me on this one. The phone does it all for you, and it doesn't talk back.
Oh, okay.
You see?
You got to work on that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yes.
It's been one of them nights. There was the family that Sarah lives with, the lady, or the mom of the house, wakes up this morning, decides she's going to do a bunch of stuff, and it's like every turn she makes, something bad happened today.
Oh.
It's a shame.
I think
Andy actually might be watching, so if he is, I'm waving on the webcam.
Okay.
Trying.
Well, I'm going to get our guest on.
Okay. Let's see. We got, actually, I don't know if we're going to get this lady for next week. She just rescheduled. But
research, investigation, is that historically we've tended to put all kinds of strange phenomena and lump it into this big old barrel called the paranormal. One of the difficulties that presents us is that it prevents us from giving a real hard, definitive, and scientifically reasonable definition for what constitutes the paranormal. I'll give you an example. Let's say some people consider Bigfoot as being paranormal.
Yeah.
I myself look at that as cryptozoology.
Now, you don't lump cryptozoology in with paranormal?
Well, what I'm saying is that probably shouldn't be included, and I'll explain what I mean. There's every evidence to indicate that this is actually some sort of a rare and remarkable creature, but it's actually a physical creature, and I fully expect somebody someday to drag into a body. You know, a physical body of a Bigfoot, and mystery solved. We discover thousands of new species every year, and none of those would be considered paranormal. Give you another example, UFOs. Although they might share a lot of characteristics with paranormal phenomena and observations, they themselves, whatever they are most likely to be some sort of a physical object, matter and energy, something relatively solid. And if you believe what some investigators and researchers have come to the conclusion, that governments around the world have already drug bodies of these things in, so to speak, into hangars.
Now, see, they say that, but there's so many different views, I guess I want to say, on UFOs. You know, you got that they're really government-tested planes, and we're going to learn about them later, you know, like the Blackbird, and, you know, these government planes that they're just they're in the testing phases. That's why they're unidentified. And then you have, like, the planes of belief that it's, you know, aliens and spaceships and, you know, so, I mean, if they're government, it's really not paranormal. I mean, I guess it's, you know, not normal, you know, if that was the definition, but I don't know. If it was, you know, our government doing it, wouldn't really be paranormal, I don't think.
Well, I think you're following what I'm saying. In other words, whatever a UFO is, its actual source is some sort of a physical object or substance. Whatever it is, natural phenomena, experimental craft, whatever. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, say, in paranormal phenomena, no one is going to drag out into a hangar somewhere the body of what they call like a shadow ghost. There is no body.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it paranormal. So for me, the hard definition of paranormal are physical observations that have no direct observable physical cause. That whatever is causing that observation is not in direct physical contact with it. Do you follow what I mean?
Yep, I do.
There you go. Okay. For example, this is where the value of giving it that kind of a definition comes in. We hear a lot about people speaking about quantum physics and how it relates to the paranormal and consciousness and all those kinds of things. But looking at it very carefully, I find that they too are sometimes a bit ambiguous, and they use a kind of reasoning that I call looks like, sounds like, reminds me of, instead of saying this is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so for me, in quantum physics, the best example I can give is what they call quantum entanglement. To explain what this means, and it's fairly simple. A demonstration of this is they can take a photon, a particle of energy, light, and split it in two. and actually make two lesser photons. Each one of these individuals is a photon. It behaves exactly like a complete one, but only at a lower energy level. Now, when they do this and they're successful at it, because they have to try it a lot of times before they finally get one to split just right, it creates what's called a correlated pair. And each one of them has an opposite polarity. Quantum polarity is not like a magnet. We would talk about it as an upspin or a downspin of a particle. So let's say particle A of the pair has an upspin, and particle B of the pair has a downspin.
Okay.
And so the two balance each other out and make what we call a correlated pair. Now, let's say that we're going to take this pair and we're going to split it apart somehow. You know, divide the pair and allow each individual to fly away from each other at opposite directions. It's a photon, so it's going to travel at the speed of light. This is the fastest velocity that anything physical can travel. So they're traveling in opposite directions from one another. Now we take particle A and pass it through a polarizing filter. That changes its spin. It takes it from an upspin and changes it to a downspin, reverses its polarity. Particle B will instantaneously reverse its own spin to maintain the balance of the correlated pair.
Even if it doesn't go through that thing?
Exactly. It doesn't matter whether it's 5 inches, 5 feet, 5 miles, or 500,000 light years. The correlated pair is still connected in some way. Somehow, the information about the state of particle A is transmitted instantaneously everywhere in the universe to the location of particle B that instantly responds.
Now, taking this back into paranormal, are you meaning like dimensionally? Like, are we talking into different dimensions, or are we talking like?
Well, you're going down the right train of thought with that. Strictly from a scientific point of view, quantum physicists don't even try to explain how that could happen. They just tell us that this is the nature of the universe, and that's simply the way it works. Physics, by its very nature, is materialism. And physicists are the ultimate materialists. So that anything that doesn't have a material explanation, they don't try to even negotiate with that at all.
See, it sounds like the old boys' network. That's how it is, that's how it's been, and that's how it's always going to be, and we don't have to explain it because we don't really know.
You're absolutely right, but it even goes a little deeper than that, because within the scientific community itself, there are certain political undercurrents and certain ulterior motives, as there is in any field. And unfortunately, science today is in the possession of the quantists. It used to be in the possession of the relativists, which were the disciples of Einstein. But now, it's in possession of the quantists, and the quantists want to say that this is just the way the universe is. Einstein argued with him. He said, I think quantum physics is impressive, but when it comes to this, you know, random, unexplainable nature, that God does not play dice. That given the exact state of the universe as it is today, we can absolutely tell for certain what the weather is going to be in Detroit 7 days from now. Our only problem is that we don't understand the workings of the universe, and we can't gather that information. That was Einstein's position. The quantum theorists, the quantum physicists, take an exact opposite approach. They say, no, it's impossible to tell that, not because we don't know how to do it, but because that's just simply the way the universe is put together. And so there's a very dichotomy of philosophy here.
Yeah. Like they don't. Yeah, we do know how to do it, but we don't. We're not going to do it because that's just how it works.
Yeah, and they have a philosophy that justifies their inability to discern the reasons why and justifies their inaction to determine what that reason would be. And Einstein was against all that.
Isn't that all the scientific, like even, okay, I'm going to get a little spiritual. Even like when science tries to explain God, it's the, what's the unknown cause or whatever. You know, that's how they say it. You know, they don't know how to explain it, but they justify it.
Well, physics in its purest form is atheistic. And some physicists have certainly tried to make preliminary explorations into that area outside of the physical, whether they would actually come out and start saying that this is God. That would really make them a rogue physicist. And any one of them who is firmly established in the mainstream and their careers depend on that, such a statement would literally end their careers.
Well, why am I keep coming back to the word chaos theory? It is one of those, either the quantum or the relativity, one of those is the theory of chaos? Or am I just, I don't know where I'm getting that from.
Well, no, I understand. And what you're saying has a certain reference point. If I can, I would like to come right back to that real quick.
Okay.
But what I wanted to do was quickly finish my thought about the quantum entanglement. So what we have here with this quantum entanglement, with this correlated pair, is we have physical evidence of a physical effect with no directly connected physical cause. It's what physicists call non-locality. And one writer put it very nicely. It's like getting a black eye in Miami by a punch that's thrown in Cleveland.
In other words, the Browns strike again.
I've always liked that particular gentleman's definition. It's sad that I can't remember who did it, who wrote it.
That's funny.
It's a great one. But anyway, this is what is the same characteristic of the paranormal, that we have, for example, EVPs and disembodied voices. We have audible voices, a physically observable phenomena, and measurable.
Uh-huh.
We can record them, but with no physical connection to a physical set of vocal cords. So it's not the voice itself that's paranormal. It's the fact that it has no direct physical cause linked to it that makes it paranormal. Now, the important thing about this definition is it not only gives us a foundation on which to logically and reasonably and sensibly build a model of paranormal mechanics, but it also shifts us into a different paradigm. And I'll tell you what I mean. We have traditionally been trying to explain paranormal phenomena by use of scientific principles. What this paradigm does is switches it on its tail and says, no, it's quantum physics that's paranormal.
No, why?
Because paranormal, once we give the paranormal that definition, it means that quantum physics falls under the same definition, which means these mysterious things that we observe on the quantum level are themselves paranormal. So rather than trying to make the paranormal scientific, the truth is that the science is paranormal. Do you follow what I mean?
My brain's still trying to wrap around that one. Lola's got it.
Well, no, I've got it. But boy, that certainly, I don't know how to explain what I'm thinking. It's almost a paradox. To say that science then is paranormal.
Yes,
because
it's something that has never been talked about. It's something that has never been looked at that way. Certainly, science, who is the keepers of all the empirical knowledge, all the absolute knowledge, they've been so ever since they divorced themselves from the church after Galileo. you know, they would never look at it that way. They would never say that this paranormal phenomena actually represents a standard by which other things can be measured and judged. They want everything to be measured and judged according to their particular, you know, the four walls that defines the building that they live in. That's the known universe. And everything out of those four walls here be monsters. But it is, because of that, it's a very strange way of looking at it. And I'll try to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's take the wind, for example.
Okay.
All of our thinking, based on conventional thinking and experience, tells us that the wind blows.
Okay.
We use it in our language. We used to draw pictures of the clouds blowing the wind across the corners of the globe. We can blow a wind out of our mouth by puffing. We can push our hand through the air and create an artificial wind. But the science of it is that wind is primarily a function of the movement of air molecules from an area of high pressure to an area of low pressure. Now, scientifically speaking, it's not correct to say that a volume pushes itself into a vacuum. It's correct to say that volumes are drawn into vacuums. They're sucked into it. So our conventional thinking is completely wrong. The wind is actually pulled along. And that's the only thing that makes that mind-bending brain teaser. It's not the fact that the concept itself is difficult. It's just so different than what we're conditioned to think. And, of course, in the case of the wind, you know, everything that we would know in our surrounding area about the wind, we can hang out laundry to dry, we could fly kites, we could even build airplanes. And everything locally about the wind would appear the same to us if it was blowing or if it was sucking, if it was pushed or pulled. But the picture that we could draw about the greater meteorological system of the planet would be very different for one than for the other. And that's where these shifts in paradigms are so important. It's just looking at things in a little bit of a different way.
Wow. Okay. We got a phone call.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Yes, sir. Can I speak to your guest, please?
Well, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Okay. So, bottom line, Bigfoot and or a UFO, they're tangible. You can grab a hold of them if they ever existed. The paranormal in itself is paranormal. So all these equipment that they've developed, you know, to detect, like, let's say, a ghost, quote-unquote, if you can't even prove what's paranormal, then are they obsolete?
Well, Bill, I would say it's a good question. What I would say is that, no, the equipment that they're using to detect these observable phenomena, they're actually physically observable phenomena or physical effects, are still valid.
They can actually use
this equipment to measure these things, record these things. The only difference is that we cannot detect or figure out any kind of a direct physical cause to what we are seeing.
You mean like a physical body?
Right.
Yes, whereas a Bigfoot, when you see a Bigfoot, you know there's a flesh and blood hairy being underneath that image that you're seeing with your eyes.
Right.
And with a UFO, when they actually appear as metallic craft, as hard craft, we know there is some sort of a tangible physical causal body that is making the effect that we are actually able to physically measure, observe, and record. But in the paranormal, just as in that quantum entanglement where we see that instantaneous transfer of data, we cannot detect or see any physical causal cause that would be connected directly to that effect that tells us, oh, this is what caused that effect.
So, sir, you're always going to be going round and round until you can develop something that can actually reach out and touch something. But since you can't touch something that's not there, where do you go from there?
Well, where we go from there, at least where I go from there, is having come up with a completely new conceptual model of the way the universe is put together and how these phenomena do occur, what I call a paranormal mechanics, so that we can actually identify conceptually what is actually causing all these different phenomena. Even though we can't physically detect the cause, we can certainly have a concept that tells us what that cause may be.
So you yourself, you do believe there's something going on out there, correct?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, if you read the Bible, you'll remember a couple of instances where they talk about wondering whether they've seen a ghost or not.
Yeah, I think when Jesus was walking on the water to the ship, I think, if I remember right, they were all freaking out. And they were like, look, it's a spirit, it's a spirit. And he said,
yeah, it's just me. They thought they saw a ghost.
Okay, sir.
And so the point of that is that even back then, 2,000 years ago, people were seeing these things, and they had a name for it. They knew exactly what it was. Einstein, and this again, this relates, guys, to what I was talking about earlier, about this undercurrent within physics for the quantists to try to discredit Einstein.
Yeah, if we can get into that afterwards, we do have to take a break.
I wanted to ask him why they people look for, let's say, quote-unquote ghosts at night instead of during the day. Or do they look during the day? A guy like yourself.
Is that for me or for the guest?
I'm going to pick that up after the break.
Yeah. We'll come back with the answer after the break. Thank you for your call, Bill.
Yeah.
You're listening to Whispers Radio. Our guest is Tom Fusco, Beyond the Veil, or Behind the Cosmic Veil, sorry, here on Whispers Radio. We'll be right back. First dawn's light. Gotta free my mind, get you out of sight. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It's 6:41 p.m. Nice and windy outside.
Nice and windy. Like a gale out there.
Our guest is Tom Fusco. His book is Behind the Cosmic Veil, A New Vision of Reality, Merging Science, the Spiritual, and the Supernatural. Tom, you still with us?
Yes, I am, and... just to let your listeners know, if they want to find out more about the book and obtain it at the best price and the fastest delivery, go to www.cosmicveilwithane.com.
Veil with an E.
Yes, because if you're like me, you sometimes make a mistake and spell it with an A.
Oh, I was looking at your book. I got it in front of me. And I was like, well, how else would you spell that?
Well, thank goodness for spell check.
I was thinking. I was like, there's not an E at the end of that. V E I L. I got you. Before the break, we had a caller ask why they do paranormal investigations at night for ghosts. Do you have an answer for that, or?
Well, I think there's a combination of reasons for it. I think one of them is kind of the mystique, mysterious type of thing.
Uh-huh.
I talked to a paranormal investigator one time that said that it was just simply the time when everyone was off of their day jobs.
Now, see, I've heard, you know, just because that's usually when most people have off, and, you know, even for the guys that work midnight shifts, I mean, it's usually their day off and they're up anyway. So,
well, and I've heard too, it cuts out all the ambient noise.
Yeah, and
from the street,
it cuts out the ambient noise, and with all the IR type of cameras that are in use now for ghost investigations, it's a lot easier to control the lighting.
Yeah, and those things would certainly be a valid point as well. Certainly in the darkness. It's very easy to detect more subtle sources of radiation.
Yeah.
It's scarier. Let's face it. It's just scarier.
It's the thrill part.
Yes.
We also got a question from the chat room. As far as paranormal activity goes and physics, is there a way to protect yourself from it? If that makes any sense.
That's a very good question. This comes down to a conflict or a variety of philosophies within the paranormal community. Some people are very excited about the phenomena itself. They have almost kind of a sensationalistic thrill in dealing with it. And so for themselves, they're not necessarily thinking about protecting themselves from it. Then there's another faction in the community that thinks more along the lines of, let's say, an exterminator.
Okay.
That they get a report. There's an infestation. They go bring their equipment, do their testing, and find out, yes or no, we have a problem. We have roaches, whatever it is. We have an infestation. And then they try to do everything they can within their knowledge to wipe it out. If someone's having a personal problem, a personal issue with any kind of another type of a intelligence, excuse me, call it what you will, demonic, dead persons, I'm not speaking about it that extreme, but any kind of an intelligence, which would include those things, is attacking you or is trying to take you over and violate you in some way, you have to do whatever you can to stop that. Someday, I hope, based on this model, this theoretical model that I've discovered, that's described in the book, we will actually be able to build technology that will actually exterminate these things, that will actually push them out of our physical plane and drive them off.
Okay, so explain what this model is that you're working on now. I mean, I know you just said that, you know, what you hope to do, but how is it gonna work?
Well, here's the idea, and it takes a little bit of background. I'll try to cover it as fast as we can because of the our time constraints.
Uh-huh.
Everything that we see in the universe is a consequence of two things. One of the elements, one of those things is information. You folks might remember seeing the movie Tron, where they reduced the human being into a collection of information,
yeah,
and then they put that into the computer. Well, that's actually literally true. Not that they can put it in the computer, but we comprise information. And given all that information, we could actually assemble any kind of a physical object that we would think of. What we have in paranormal phenomena is information without a physical source. For example, the disembodied voice is a collection of information. The image, the apparition image of a Victorian lady. Over here in America, we see Victorian ladies. I understand over in England, they see black devil dogs.
Everybody's got their thing.
Yeah, every country seems to have their own particular favorite. But anyway, the collection of information the image is actually a collection of information. The question becomes, how does that information materialize in our physical world without having actually a physical body which stores the information? And so, to make a long story short, there is a mechanism described in my book where this information is able to come from its storage house, its hard drive, so to speak, outside of space-time, break into space-time, and manifest itself in a physically observable form. Once we understand the mechanics of that mechanism, we could build technology to reverse it and push that information back out of our physical plane. Of course, the implications is that now we're talking about a technology that could give us a real handle on things like time travel and teleportation. because we would be able to remove information from the physical plane, bring it back at another place, and materialize it exactly like particle A does to particle B in quantum entanglement. I know I just said a mouthful, guys.
Lola's leaning back, like churning it all in.
I know.
It reminds me of a cartoon I saw where they were playing World of Warcraft, and they finally beat this guy that was killing everybody, and they show you the picture at the end of the cartoon. The guy's just sitting there petrified, staring at his screen. But the only reason why it sounds like that, guys, is because I'm putting, you know, the cart before the horse, so to speak. You know, given what we just did was, given the fact that gasoline is flammable, oh, suddenly you have a 747 airplane. But if we walk through all the steps with ourselves that what led up to the 747 airplane, it would be like, oh, that's no problem. I understand that. So the only reason why it sounds crazy at first is because we don't have the time to go through all the steps.
Yeah, okay.
If you get the book, you'll be able, it goes step by step. It's very easy to understand.
That's good. Now I want to talk, because in your book you also talk about anti-gravity, time travel, teleportation, you know, and you know, on the back of the book it asks, is it possible? So I'm going to just go from, you know, that. Are those possible?
Well, here's, again, we're kind of putting the cart before the horse, Jordan, but I'm going to try the best I can to answer it as best, you know, with the limited amount of time.
Uh-huh.
Picture a bowl of water.
Okay.
Okay? And let's say that we're working with this concept that we have a form, which is information, and we have a substance, which is in the form of waves. I know I'm jumping the gun, but follow me here a little bit.
Okay.
All right? That exists outside of space-time. And let's say that the water in that bowl represents that. It represents that pattern, the information, the actual skeleton, the form, and the substance, like the flesh that would be put on its bones and make a whole being out of it, so to speak. Now, let's take a rubber membrane, and let's imagine that it is filled with holes. It's permeable, so that water would be able to seep through the membrane very easily.
Okay.
And let's stretch that rubber membrane over the mouth of that bowl so that the water's right up underneath of it, but we can't see it because we're looking at the rubber membrane. Now, let's further say that the rubber membrane actually represents the fabric of space-time. And we, on the outside of the bowl, looking down, we're standing in dimensional space. We're standing in space, time, matter, and energy, that world. So we can't see that hidden world beneath it. Now, let's take our finger and push down into the center of the rubber.
Okay.
Now, what we're going to do is we're actually creating a bend in space-time. Now, suddenly what happens is this unseen material seeps through and puddles at the bottom of that well. Now, suddenly we're seeing a physical form and substance manifesting in our physical world from an unseen place.
Kind of like bleed through.
No.
No.
No, it's not like that because that's, and I wanted to say that there are people who are proposing certain theories of the paranormal with infringements upon parallel universes, like they talk about the multiverse.
Yeah, we had somebody a few weeks ago brought that up.
Unfortunately, they can't describe the mechanism by which it happens. The other philosophical flaw within that theory is the fact that even though they're arguing it, you know, or presenting it and suggesting it, they're not realizing that they're making an argument for materialism. What they're saying is that we see, we have this observation, but we've run out of material to explain it. So let's say there's multiple universes.
Uh-huh.
Now we can borrow their material and explain our problem with their material.
So you're pretty much saying it's lazy man's way. You know, it's the lazy way out of it.
Yeah, and the multiverse, again, is one of those children of the quantists, which Einstein tried to rebuke, and he said that what you guys are talking about is unnecessarily complex.
Yeah, I think I'm understanding it all. Like, I think I'm not that bright of a person, Tom. Just to say it lightly, and I'm really trying. I think I'm beginning to understand. We do have another phone call. Is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bill calling back.
Yeah.
Tom, this new technology, is it close? You know, to coming. You know, to happening or what?
No, it's not. I have the best way that I can describe it is if you go and look at the old drawings of Leonardo da Vinci and some of the incredible devices that he dreamt up. On some of his drawings, he actually has a space in it, in the drawing, where he has an arrow pointing to it that says unknown power source.
Okay.
And that's kind of where we are. I've laid the foundation. I've given the conceptual model of what this is. There has to be some sort of an effort on qualified physicists, mathematicians, engineers to look at this.
Kind of like the missing link.
Okay, Tom, let's say this technology comes around. Now, you have a paranormal voice. You saying you're going to be able to snatch out with this technology an actual tangible object, a body that you can grab a hold of? And if so, let's say it's a dead person in a penitentiary. Will you be able to grab out this person from the present, from the past, or how will that work?
Oh my goodness, brother. you are thinking in the right direction. Let me give you a model which will almost scare you if you understand what it means.
Okay.
If he's on to something, I'm getting scared, and I don't want you to keep going, Tom.
This is one of those shifts in paradigm. I mean, here's the problem. The standard model of the universe, for example, establishment physics, says that this is dependent on several different hypothetical particles.
Uh-huh.
Higgs boson, graviton, dark matter. They built this giant atom smasher, this collider over there in Europe that they've been running for a couple years. They talked a lot of governments out of a lot of millions of dollars to build it, and they can't find any of this stuff.
I know.
So what they're saying now, this might usher in the new physics. And what I am giving you is Da Vinci's vision, so to speak, by comparison. It's a rudimentary beginning, but it's founded in logic and it's founded in observable phenomenon. I'm going to tell you the thing that's going to kind of blow your mind a little bit.
Okay.
All right. And when you hear this, you'll understand this logic is irrefutable. And it's solidly scientific. But boy, is it's radical.
Okay.
Every system has a set of laws which governs that system. Like, say, for our universe, it has a fixed set of laws and principles. We know that those work throughout the universe. We've experimentally and mathematically established that. So every single thing that is within that universe must be governed by and work according to those same physical laws. Nothing can occur in that universe that violates those laws or operates in a way that's contrary or outside of those laws. For example, if you have a deck of 52 cards, you're not going to magically start dealing out, you know, an ace of spheres.
Uh-huh.
It's everything that's possible. All combinations are defined by those 52 cards and the values of each one. Now, here's the thing. The human brain is part of that physical universe. Therefore, the human brain is built according to those physical laws. Therefore, there is nothing that the human brain can do that can operate in contradiction to, or in violation of, or outside of those physical laws. Therefore, anything that the human brain can image, I'm going to take a more literal view than the word imagination.
Okay.
Anything that it can solidly image and hold within itself is according to physical law, that it can actually become physical reality. If it wasn't possible physically, it would not be able to be contrived and contained within the physical matrix of the brain, which is built according to physical law.
Okay, but where do you get into, like, schizophrenia? You know, where people have, like, visual hallucinations and things like that.
But
where
what
they're
hallucinating is still within the physical limits of our universe.
Lola, you continue to get a star on your paper.
I am failing this class so horribly, Tom.
Easy to dehumanize people by saying your experience is not valid. It's what physics does to the paranormal.
Okay.
Your experiences are invalid. Therefore, we have invalidated you as human beings. That's why Einstein said the final judge of every theory, and this is something that they hide. You got to go into his writings to find it. He said the final judge of every theory is human experience. And he did not care for the dehumanizing effort of the quantists.
Bill, you said you got one more question.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Tom, he mentioned demons briefly. Okay. Do you believe in the future with technology? I believe they're out there and about, let's say in your Osama bin Laden's and your Yasser Arafat's, that in a brief instance, when they turn a certain direction, you could see this monster. Do you believe in the future any kind of technology will be able to pinpoint this and eliminate from the person? Because I believe it's demons that, you know, that dictate what a person does.
Well, I can answer that. The Bible says that we can cast spirits out. You know, if you're faith believing.
I'm talking physics wise and stuff, you know, if there is such a thing.
Well, I would say this, is that if the premise is true, then what we're talking about is two cohesive conglomerations of information occupying a living body at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Were we able to fulfill Einstein's dream of being able to understand all the processes in the universe and be able to detect every single element of that universe, then yes, we would be able not only to detect that foreign or that imposing pattern of information, but be able to manipulate it.
You know, I don't think these people that go to the penitentiaries looking for dead people really want to have the equipment to bring them to life.
Yeah, that's a big one. Well, Lola might. She wants real bad to see something.
Well, then what do you do with them once you bring them back? You know?
Well, all I can tell you, I'm going to have to fall back with Jordan on that one. If we look at the Bible, it teaches that in the end time, at the last day, that everyone will be re-embodied.
You know, now, that, you know, at what age? At a young age? At an old age? At an in-between age? At a baby's age? You know, that's the mystery there.
You're getting a little bit out of my expertise now.
Yeah. We are out of time. Bill, thank you for your call and your questions.
Okay.
Have a good one. Tom,
I hope I'm real young. I hope I'm in my late 20s when I come back.
You may come back in exactly the way that you image yourself.
Oh, mercy. I'm toast on this one.
I'm going to come back a pretty good-looking man.
In his own mind, Tom, in his own mind.
Well, I understand.
In the, you know, bring it back in the physical.
Yeah.
Tom, we barely scratched the surface.
We need to have you back on because this really gave my brain a stretch.
Sometime early next year, make sure you pencil us in.
That would be wonderful. Let me know. Send me a date. I'll definitely pencil it in. And I want to thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, and it would be a lot of fun to go into this a little further. Again, cosmicveil.com with an E, and this is real, folks. This is like nothing that you've ever seen or heard before.
No, it's not. It's not really the usual. We were even talking before, you know, most just general paranormal guys, you know, just have the same stories to tell, and yours is completely different.
Hidden key, like I said, that has been looting mankind for generations. I've stumbled upon it.
Well, I don't know that stumbled is really the right word. I think you've climbed a pretty big hill, you know. So, but yeah, I can't wait to have you on again.
sounds great, guys.
Tom Fusco, behind the Cosmic Veil and cosmicveil.com. We're definitely going to keep in touch.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
I know we ran a little bit over, so we're going to have to jump off. You listen to Whispers Radio.
That was great.
I enjoyed him. I did. My
just
brain's
your brain at exercise.
After last week, we needed it.
We needed something.
Until next week, everybody. Don't be afraid. Only believe.